Hi everybody, this is Terry Laundrie. We're doing the presentation of the Wednesday midweek update here at the bottom of the T-Theory Observations chart. This is for October 6, 2010, as noted. And we have a number of different topics. I thought that I'd make the Wednesday thing a sort of a lot of interesting things that I would collect. And so at the outset, we're going to talk about the chart with the spectacular update of yesterday. And it's no change to that forecast. It's just that I had a comment that somebody said that the T in the chart, which is the double bottom T, which projects the top in the second week of November, he says he was very doubtful that that would ever occur. Well, yesterday you kind of see what's driving the market up, and what's driving the market up is the rather sudden, they're waiting around for whether people going to raise their interest rates. Now they're all cutting interest rates because what they're trying to do is to prevent the double dip from coming in and help to boost their exports by downgrading or weakening their currencies. If you listen to people in the past, go back like 20 or 30 years, the Secretary of the Treasury would always come out and say, "We want a strong dollar," and everybody was, pro strong dollar. Well, now that it's very hard to make money, everybody wants to export, and you can't have a strong currency. Japan is being killed by its strong currency, and you now hear talk in the United States, representatives, "We need a weaker dollar." Well, it turns out everybody wants to play that game, and so what you're doing is you're going into a currency war, which is one of the instabilities of the 80-year cycle, which I have discussed in the past. And which I have a small YouTube thingamajig down there if you would like to see that concept being discussed again, which I'll discuss later. And so what you've got is this race to do stimulation and reduce the value of the currency for their own trade for selfish interests, which is perfectly proper for them to do. Net effect of that is that you get this sudden surge of everybody becoming enthusiastic because basically it's a stimulation, and the money's going to come out and it's got to go someplace, and so it's going into the stocks. However, the better approach to that, which I'll discuss as we get down to some of these other topics, is that you see that the gold will just follow the market up because a depreciation, people who are trying to depreciate their own currencies eventually end up producing the opposite result for gold. So if you look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday, it was up by 1.8%. And if you look at the gold, you'll see that it was up a comparable amount to that. And the S&P 500 was up 2.9%. Gold was up a little less than that, but Tocqueville Gold was up 2.8%. So you can play the game either way. The advantage of the gold play is that you don't have to guess which currencies is going down. You just have to guess that they're going to just start creating money, and that tends to make the dollars worth less. And the worth less dollars, because gold is in our country, we buy gold in terms of dollars, it means the gold price has to rise in terms of dollars. So it's the easy way, the catch-all story. Okay, so let's look at the details of the chart, and the details of the chart are basically that you are going you're going to end up in the second week of November with nothing more in the correction phase than back to the black line, although you could always have one of those flash crashes at the end. You can see the small ADT, we've passed its peak, but what's going on to lead you to believe that there is a correction, short-term correction here, and then there's a bigger correction later, is you can see that the advanced decline oscillator made a very overbought level peak in sort of the latter part of July. And you can see, if you go back and see the one in March, and then you go back and you see the one in September, once you make a peak up there, usually you start to tail off, and that I have this red dashed line in here coming across here, and the market is due to roll over here on a cycle basis with the 18th of the month as a general range where you would be looking for a low. And as long as the oscillator doesn't go above this dashed red line, everything is fine on that. You also see that the rally that we had yesterday just brought the market up to the peak at the upper red line of the envelope, so it's going to have difficulty to go up. So it's very likely to sort of have a sort of a blow off today, and then we'll start back into the correction phase. However, because the black line is rising, you're going to get some kind of a support. Down in the oscillator, I have two dead red dashed lines, which are drawn between the rising bottoms pattern. And one thing that you might not realize is that if you do have a cycle, they'll always cut the momentum trend lines. So, for example, if you draw the first one from the May low into the early July low, once you get the peak at the first of the ADTs, you have to break that, and that means that you go below the zero line. And so this one is that there's a valid cycle there. It's easy to see in the chart. It's the difference, the B and C bottoms replicated, if nothing else. And there's a modification to that, which is better by Parker, but you know, basically there is a cycle there. So what you do is you draw a trend line from the early July low to the late-ish August low, and you see that that's fairly shallow. What's going to happen is you're not going to make it above the descending red dot line, and then you're going to turn down and you're going to go under the zero line, and maybe you'll go under the previous low at some point, and it's likely to be just a collapse near the end of the cycle low, because they make these sharp things. You can see back in the late October period of 09 that it doesn't take long to go down on these things if the market wants to do it, and I think that you want to do that. What else is there to say? Nothing particularly in the you have a very low arms ratio level, but there's still three numbers in there that are pretty good, so it's not terribly overbought or anything like that. So in any case, I would just say that's the forecast, and what you're seeing here in the enthusiasm is really that you have a better chance now of catching a low at a higher level because there is enthusiasm, but that doesn't. You still have to do the your due diligence on the fact that there should be a correction. Then when you come up to the final top in November, you'll have more data because you'll be able to see that the oscillator does go down low, and then when it comes back up and it makes a big descending tops pattern, it's below the declining red dashed line, then you're going to see the oscillator is going to reveal a loss in momentum in the advanced decline line, which is the identifier for the drop off of the low, and, you know, sometime from the peak, someplace in the second week of November. Okay, I don't want to. There's no sense in beating this issue to death. So let's move along, and cover some of the other topics that I was interested in. And the other topics that I'm interested in is Parker was kind enough to decide he wanted to do a tutorial, and so if you click on the first link, you go to YouTube, and you do. He talks about the preliminaries there, and why when you're doing cycle analysis, you can't basically use the obvious turning points, but he wants to use the divergence turning points to get a better handle on where the cycle is turning. And in the second one, he's talking about getting close getting into it a little further, and I assume that he'll come along with other ones, and they all get posted at the channel for Parker's site. And once you get there and you bookmark that, you can pick all that other stuff. Now Parker also has a Twitter page, which is at twitter.com/positionsizing. Position sizing is he has a website called, if you do a search on position sizing, you'll find his blog. It tells about him and so forth. He's a very clever fellow. It doesn't mean he's going to do everything right, but the Twitter thing has got megaphone for me, a lot of technical information, and he's very competent. He's a self-sustaining trader. In other words, that's what he does full time, and you can follow things on Twitter and once a week or so forth. He puts something up there. It's another interesting topic, and sometimes it's accompanied with charts. As stockcharts.com. Chart will appear on the link, and so you get all the stuff fed to you, and it's I think it's a pretty good thing to watch. Then down at the bottom, I thought this was a very clever way to communicate, so I spent about not more than a half an hour setting up the test video down at the bottom, which is produced by screenr.com. Screen R is a program. Everything is free, you know. This whole thing is free if you're ever interested in doing this. I thought it was quite interesting, and it's a valuable tool for the future. And I'll describe my next project, which I'll put up here next Wednesday or thereabouts. And that is that the program, everything, nothing has to be installed on your computer. You just go to screenr.com. And you have to agree to something, but they don't want any money or anything like that. And you start this program, and on your computer, a rectangular dotted grid comes up, a box basically with movable handles, and you put it over whatever you got, whatever you want to make come up in the movie, and then you press the record button, and it picks up the audio. I have an iMac that has built-in microphones and so forth, so I never did anything on mine. And you got 5 minutes, and you move the cursor of the mouse around to point to the various things that you want. You shut it off, and then you have to have a Twitter account for some reason, and so you get up the Twitter account and you push that up there. And then one of the options that you have when it's been what they do is they manufacture the file, which you can then email to somebody by Twitter, but you also have the option to go into YouTube, so you have to open a YouTube account. Then, when you get the YouTube account open, there's an option to post it to YouTube, and by then you've identified yourself with a channel and a password and stuff like that. But that doesn't cost anything. And then you can do as I did, is you just pull a link off of it, and this link here will show you, you know, what I did, or you can email it to somebody, or you can broadcast it on Twitter, and then the people of the Twitter people can all go and listen to the presentation. It's a great way to communicate. I did get a note from Desi, who said, are you going to do this in the future? He says the answer is no. It's just it turns out that there sometimes there are little ways to talk about something, and this is it doesn't cost anything. All I have to do is put the link up here, and you just go to YouTube. So YouTube's paying for the bandwidth, and I don't pay for the program, and so it's real cheap and easy. Actually, what we're going to do is this is the way I'm going to prototype my new tutorials, because it's an easy way to do it. I'll take a little more time in coming up with the presentation and so forth, but you can do them in five-minute segments, and then you can just post them in a list. But to answer Desi's question, the idea is that the basic one is to do an audio file with a PDF file, because the pictures in YouTube are they're not as crisp as they should be. And then I can have the audio file transcribed so that you get a PDF file, and you can get a text presentation out of it, which is the three ways to do that. And eventually you can build that up into a series of tutorials, which can then be converted into text with pictures, and they can become chapters in a book and so forth, and that's how you carry it on. But I did think that was probably the more interesting of the concepts. My next topic is going to be on the, I think position sizing is very good for a name, because in the concept of, just to introduce what the topic would be, is that when you're using things like T-theory, where you're doing a directional trading, you have to be right on the long-term trend of the market. I mean, that's the whole idea, okay? And you have to know where the corrections are. If you're in, and that's sort of a key to success, to get the direction right and not confuse the corrections with bear markets and that sort of thing, so you can make some sense out of your economic plan. The other part of the equation, though, is position sizing, which means that you don't want to have a big position when you're likely to be wrong. And usually the way you do that is using T-theory is you wait till your correction looks like it's making a bottom, you take a small position, then you build it up. Because if you make a collection over a long period of time, you're going to get a longer term rally out of it. So you have time to go through this process of building something up, and so you get your position big. That concept is very much what Marty Schwartz did with the S&P 500 contracts, in the sense that he knew from the concept of T-theory that it was a long-term bull market, and he would have other opinions as to why that was true. So he would just look for the corrections, and then he would build up very, very large positions that would get more could get me more dangerous, but he had profits on some of the early positions, and he knew how to get out of it. And then he used the term that when everybody came in, he would ring the cash registers, he'd get out of it, and then he would go off into the to take a vacation, you know, talk to your family and relax and so forth, and wait for the next correction period. That's much saner than the usual trader person who is jumping around, is the top here or is the bottom there, and they keep reversing the position because now you have the uncertainty associated with the fact that you can't define the long-term trend because a trader doesn't have a long-term trend, basically, right? And so you have to, but you still can use the position sizing is the other aspect. In T theory, it reduces to the fact that you just go into the big, you go into the biggest T. So what you should be doing is you're specializing in gold, in the fact that it is it's a long-term bull market, and in this case, if you wanted to add to, if you were a short-term trader on gold, you could add to a position on the pullback when you get to the edge of the channel. But you know, it's everybody's starting to go for it now, although there's no big problem, and so you want to get that pop down to kind of save you from any embarrassment. And then when you go off the top in November down into late December, that which is the null deco low, you should go you should expect that the gold probably will go down there, because to try to quench the enthusiasm over the stimulation and it tends to get to the gold at the same time. But after that, because it's in a mega T, it could come on real strong at that time. The final thing is that Jim Sinclair of who, you can do a search for Jim Sinclair. He has a website which is Mindset, one word, which is like gold mine, Mindset. And he has just come back from Africa, and he is saying that the cat's out of the bag as far as this depreciation of currency, and the race is on, and he can't stop it. And his upside objective of over 1600 by sometime next year, he thinks is very doable. That's his opinion. In order to do that, what you have to do is you have to keep the gold rising up, but you have to have enough corrections to prevent it from going into a wholesale upside explosion, because if the volume expands, you're going to get a blow off. But you can have then another correction, then you can do another accumulation later on and get the forecast that way. But these corrections can make the ultimate thing, the ultimate blow off, get bigger by just causing it to make a consolidation pattern, which is actually rising, and it tends to draw more gold bugs into it, and then the more and more enthusiastic when it breaks on the upside. You get this much bigger run that which would, in his mind, would give you that kind of a high number. Okay, so that's it for Wednesday. Hope you enjoyed the fact that we can I'm just doing a bunch of stuff here on Wednesday and collecting some of these other things, and we'll see how things go. But that the YouTube thing is just an experiment, but it's a good way, I think, to communicate ideas that will be using at my T-Theory Foundation site later on. Okay, be back next Sunday. Have a good week, and remember that there's still some, that correction is still there, even though everybody is bidding. Bye-bye.